Hi, I'm Forrest Griffin.
Brian Carraway.
And Misha Tate.
What's up, guys? This is Joseph Benavidez, UFC flyweight.
Hi, this is Greg Jackson, and you're listening to It's MMA Zing, and that is an amazing pun.
Get it? Like MMA, but amazing? Amazing.
Radio.
Welcome to It's M Amazing Radio. I am your host, Dr. Law, and with me, as always, DJ Mark.
What's up?
Also joining me this week, the legend himself, Lavender Gooms.
Hello, guys, and I am jumping right into it today. I wish you guys, as always, on April 29th, a happy National Shrimp Scampi Day. Come on now. Your mouth is watering. Come on now.
Sure.
What do you guys think of that? A little shrimp scampi, a little scamp?
I mean,
a little
it's
piece of toasted Italian bread, a little butter on it. Oof.
I think that's garlic bread in the picture you're looking at, Mike.
Is that?
I think that's garlic bread. Scampi?
Garlic bread's even better.
What is it, though? I don't really know what shrimp. I mean, it has shrimp. That part's obvious. I don't know what the scampi. What is that exactly?
I don't know exactly what scampi is, but isn't it basically just like shrimp pasta?
I think it's a white sauce. It tends to be too, with like pasta, shrimp, white sauce, some herbs for decoration. You know, I think that's pretty much what you got going on.
Yeah. And also a happy National Zipper Day. Zipper over buttons every day of the week. I am a big proponent of that. I've always said that, actually. Yeah.
Can't be as dramatic, though, with the zipper. With bump buttons, you can just pop open. You know, I'm just saying.
Although I will say, ever since the opening scene of There's Something About Mary, I'm always very careful when closing the zipper on my pants.
That's just scarred you, man. You know?
Oh, yeah.
I was like 12, 13 when that movie came out, or whatever it was.
Yeah, that's right. Is it the Frank or the Beans? And for those of you who are watching it, who are listening to this tomorrow... this one's really a shout out to Steph and his dog, if I'm right, Lumpia. Isn't Lumpia part of National Bubble Tea Day? Because isn't Lumpia Korean food and bubble tea? Isn't that Korean?
No, it's a Filipino egg roll. Not even close.
Is that? Okay. All right. Either way, shout out to Kid Presentable.
I thought you were going with the other one about dogs, and I was just like, that doesn't apply either to the example you gave.
Nah, man, he paid top dollar for the dogs.
He did.
Adopt them ships.
National Adopt a Shelter Pet, though, Marcus. Two shelter pets, if I'm not mistaken, right, Marcus? Oh, that was fast.
Xena and Sadie, if I'm right, are the names of Mark's dogs. Isn't that right, Bobby?
It is, as I see Mark is completely and totally frozen. We're off to a great start here on the podcast. just fucking batting 1,000. Way to go, Comcast. All right. Well, anything else? Dude, National Raisin Day. I say this as someone who likes raisins. Everything doesn't need a day.
No, it doesn't.
National Military Brats Day. Okay. All right. We're just looking for new shit here at this point.
National Sarcoidosis Day. The only reason I know sarcoidosis is because of all those episodes of House.
Yeah.
When someone would always throw out lupus or sarcoidosis as the reason why the person was dying.
What is it?
No idea.
We're doing great. This podcast is amazing. All right. So, boys and girls, we're going to talk a little MMA news. We're going to pick some fights for UFC 301. We got a top five list, which is going to possibly change depending on if Mark comes back or not. but we'll have a top five list. And then stuff we like, or in my case, stuff that I didn't like so much, honestly. The more I think about it. Let's start, though. UFC... News. I'm just habit, Mike. Okay, let's kick off with honestly some really sad news and our condolences and wishes, and those of us who are religious, prayers, all that stuff are with the former UFC or lineal UFC heavyweight champion of the world, I guess. Le Predator, Francis Ngannou, sadly lost his 15-month-old. I saw 15 months and then I saw 18 months, but I saw 15 after, so I'm assuming there's
either way. Yeah, not even 2 years.
15-month-old son Kobe has passed away. Francis, obviously, not taking this particularly well, as one would assume any parent or, you know, anybody with a heart would be dealing with this tragedy. So, man, it's just really sad, man. I saw, like, the MMA community really coming together. And, like, the first message I saw after he posted what he did was Conor McGregor saying, hey, man, my prayers are with you, yada, yada, yada. Sorry, I didn't mean to dismiss it, yada, 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 but... You guys know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
And then, you know, this fan base is garbage. So the first comment under Connor said, Dustin owns you, which definitely, you know, read the room, people. Read the room.
Jesus, man.
Dude, the number of bad comments I saw just like scrolling, like I'm trying to like find news about MMA and just like the comments I'm reading from people are just, man, people go to hell. I hope it exists just for the group of people that need to go there. So, but yeah, man, Francis Ngannou, man, really sad story. And like, see what happens, man, because, you know, that doesn't... Talk to anybody with kids, man. This is their worst nightmare. So, you know, it's a sad time, and, you know, our condolences and wishing him the best. And, you know, just a sad, sad day for him and his family. Hopefully, you know, they can find some peace, ultimately. Yeah. Less, far, far, far less consequential news. You know, I'm watching... On Saturday, Mike, I turned on the BKFC. You know, I'm watching the BKFC. I'm having a good time. And then, you know, weird shit's happening left and right, because as it is in Bare Knuckle. And then they're like, hey, let's talk to the fucking president of BKFC, Dave Feldman. And I'm like, why? It's fucking like 10 p.m. Like, I know what time it is.
For what reason should we be talking to the president of BKFC?
I'm like... Look, we all have to have a conversation about what time this shit starts with fight sports. I don't know who started this thing, where this shit has to start this late, but 5 p.m. Pacific time is the correct time. Okay? Mike, you okay with that? Everything. Fucking main card. 5 p.m. Pacific time.
That sounds like 8 p.m. my time, yeah. And I am very much okay with that.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm thinking about you. I'm also just thinking about math and timing, but we'll talk about this another time, I guess. So they say we got this news. And then they're dragging their feet. I'm like, what's the fucking news? And Dave Feldman's got the charisma of, you know, a wet paper bag. So we know what the fuck's going on. And then all of a sudden, the notorious Conor McGregor is on my screen saying that he's one of the part owners of McGregor's Sports and Entertainment, is now one of the owners of the Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships, which, fucking cool, man. Good for him. Right? Like, you know.
How much money does Connor have?
A lot.
Jesus.
A lot. And as you know, Wu-Tang Financial taught us, you gotta diversify your portfolio. Word. After that. So, yeah, man, good for him, man. Go out there. If he thinks like, he doesn't need the money. He's rich as shit. He has like $100 million. If this helps him connect him to sports and, you know, he can help like promote it. It's great. And I think they're doing pretty well. This is because we live in a proper state here, you know, California. And this is real bare bones, I'm saying, where they produce the payments, the pay rates of everybody at BKFC. So we got to learn how much money people make. You know, Mike Perry, the king of BKFC, $600,000.
Not bad.
Pretty fine. I don't think UFC was paying him $600,000. $200,000 for Thiago Alves for losing in 68 seconds. So shout out to my guy, Thiago. $150,000 for Ben Rothwell. Not bad, honestly, a lot of these payments. One person made $500, which she said that was not a correct. That was like a mistake in the reporting, and she definitely made considerably more than that. But if someone fought for a $500, that is... That is my next security guard I'm hiring for something, because that is a fucking dog. That is a fucking dog, bro. That person is fucking just has no fucks left. Okay. That is it. I don't mind their product also because like shit's moving. They keep it moving, honestly. There was a lot of weird like shit happening where like fights were ending for random reasons, which helped speed it along. But they didn't, you know, dilly dally trying to get me to watch a fight in a warehouse that's happening in a week and a half, you know? So not bad. And I'm, you know, a little surprised. Their success kind of surprises me on some level, Mike, I'll be honest with you. Because...
Why is that?
I just get the impression... people are fucking... let me even put it like this. I don't know why kickboxing isn't a big deal in this country. That's mostly what I'm getting at. I don't understand. Like, the amount of people complain about the things they complain about in MMA, I imagine kickboxing would just fucking be like... And kickboxing has six sick rules, except for, like, K1 was like, hey, we're going three-minute rounds. Fucking everybody's throwing heat. That's it. Three-minute rounds.
And you would also think that how many, you know, martial arts movies do you watch that are always, you know, pretty good hits? Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if it's been the 80s, 90s, early aughts, or mm-hmm. whatever time period. Hey, if there's a movie people throwing some crazy roundhouse kicks, it normally does pretty well in the box office. So you would think, hey, here's this whole sport where that's all they do, that, you know, make pretty good money.
I forgot who was saying this, was saying that they think that it suffered because the one time they really tried to push it, it was like a really shitty, like, point kickboxing thing, and, like, dudes were wearing, like, the pajama pants thing. Like, it was a bad look. Marcus is back with us. We're just talking about BKFC and my general confusion about why kickboxing doesn't make money in this country. But just pretty much saying good job to Conor, man. He doesn't need to do this, and it's a good thing for BKFC to have somebody, because God knows their president has the charisma of a wet paper bag, as I put it. Get somebody out there that can promote the product a little bit. You know, he'll be good for them. Conor McGregor gets a lot of headlines.
Yeah, it always seemed like a good organization. It seemed like the fighters were always happy. It seemed like their contracts were pretty open, allowing them to do other things, and that they compensated their fighters, you know, extremely well, maybe to the point where it was a little concerning just to, you know, to see how long they'd be able to stay afloat.
Did you see any of the, because it's California, they have to post the stuff, like the payouts? People did okay. Like, $200,000 for Thiago Alves, $600,000 for Mike Perry. Like, it's not bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't see those numbers, but that's always what I heard, is like, these guys are compensated, you know, really well for, you know, the level of athletes that they're tending to get, which for the most part is their own homegrown fighters, right? Like, guys that we don't know who they are, right? That are champions of their divisions. Like, I don't know who the champion of Mike Perry's division is, but no, he's not.
He's about to fight that guy. They showed him in the crowd. I forgot his name already, but yeah.
Yeah. But it's mostly kind of a lot of, you know, I think it's most traction, especially from, you know, people like us, because there's a lot of kind of older UFC fighters that tend to go that direction. We saw Chad Mendes in there. We saw Eddie Alvarez, obviously Mike Perry. We just had Thiago Alves, like you mentioned. So it's been a good stepping stone for some of these guys that aren't completely ready to hang it up. So yeah, I think it's a good move by Conor, and Conor showed a lot of interest in it before, right? I think in Mike's last fight with Eddie, he was at the event and
he's like stared down with him about it. Yeah, he like stared down with him and grabbed the belt. Dude, I mean, the guy makes headlines. It's good for them. They need something like this. In terms of other news, I don't think there is any. I'm gonna be honest with you guys. We talked about the Francis thing earlier, Mark, and, you know, obviously that's a tragedy. If people are interested, Mike Tyson and Jake Paul are having a real pro fight, which,
right,
when they announced Texas, that should have been everything you needed to know about whether this was going to be, you know, sanctioned or not. Because one of the few tweets that Sam Amazing Twitter account got any traction on is when I said, it was after they licensed Kimbo versus Dada 5000. I said, if I wanted to fight a fucking a polar bear in Texas, they would let me. So that is still the case over there. Nothing really going on, man, to be honest. Saw that PFL is trying to go to Salt Lake City, which I found interesting because the UFC is also in Salt Lake City a lot. Seems like we got a bit of a burgeoning MMA, fan base thing going on there, because that guy throws money. The guy from Salt Lake City who just bought he owns the Utah Jazz, and he just bought the Phoenix hockey team to move to Utah. That guy's all about turning Utah into a bit of like a place, actually, which is very hard without liquor, I think, quite frankly. But, you know, because I know like they have all these laws where you can't drink certain. I've never been, Mike. Mm-hmm. You know, Mike, you've been. I think, Mark, you've been as well, but I don't think you were of age when you went, right?
No. Yeah.
But like they have all these rules about when you can and can't drink. But I think his name is Ryan Smith. So interesting that they're trying to, you know, I guess he's from there, trying to get some more attention from people. And then it sounds like Ian Machado really wants to fight Colby Covington at the Conor McGregor card. And Colby Covington says he's been offered a bunch of fights for that card. That's one that he... I don't care if he fights or not. I would. Michael Venom Page said he would beat up Ian Garry, though, and Ian Garry seemed very not interested in that fight.
I thought Michael Venom Page also wanted to fight Colby Covington as well.
I mean, if I'm Colby Covington, these are both matchups that I think at least I can grab a motherfucker, drag him to the ground. But I don't know. Colby is old. You know, he's old. His style is real grinding. He's had a lot. You know, he doesn't fight that often. You know, just get a couple more checks and get a call today, bro. That's what he needs to do, honestly. You know, talk your way into go. Maybe go to PFL or something afterwards for a couple of fights. You know, let's get a fucking... You play this card right, you get at least another $500,000 to $700,000 fighting, doing different things. So. All right. Yeah, there's not a lot of news, quite frankly. We're really still in the post-UFC 300 lull, which is funny because we're the week of a pay-per-view. Worth mentioning, we collectively all picked that fight wrong last weekend with Mateus Nicolau. I think his name is Mateus. Mateus Nicolau and... Alex Perez, because Alex Perez just systematically broke him down, just knocked his ass out. Like, it was a pretty one-sided ass whooping there. Took the first round as well. Knocked him out a little bit under 1.5 rounds. I point that out because so many people I saw were just like, the lock of the week. This fight goes over 1.5 rounds. And it's like, there's no locks. There are no locks. And then Ryan Spann managed to get knocked out. So the whole, by some guy without a Wikipedia page. So the whole thing where we're going to be excited about Ryan Spann, that's gone. You know, 3 straight losses. You know, was fighting better when he wasn't training, apparently. UFC is going to be in Brazil. This card sucks for pay-per-view. But, you know, I mean, look, the matchups aren't necessarily bad. It's just asking people to pay money is for this is a bit offensive, in my opinion. Just, you know. My 2 cents. But fuck it. You might as well pick some fights. Huh? What do you think, guys?
Yeah, let's go for it.
All right. UFC 301. Alexandra. Is it? How do you say his name? Pantoja.
Alexander?
Well, he spells it R-E. And I don't know how they roll, you know, like that in Brazil. Alexander Pereira. Alexander Pantoja. I fucked it up impressively. From... the same state, or I guess he's from Rio-ish. This card's in Rio. He's basically fighting at home. Taking on the number one's an exaggeration. Taking on a contender named Steve Ursig. Ursig is currently 10th. Wow. Okay.
Jeez.
Wow. Muhammad McCabe was complaining, but man, you should have got a fight more exciting than that, I guess, to get a title shot. Betting odds for this one, Alexandra, only minus 200 to plus 165 for Steve Ursig, which I actually think is appropriate, honestly, because I think it's showing a little bit of respect to how good of a fighter Steve Ursig really is. He's really had some great performances so far in the UFC. I believe he's three fights in, decision win, knockout Matt Schnell. And that Matt Schnell knockout was beautiful. 28 years old from Australia. Only 12-1, 28 years old, as I mentioned. His nickname, Astro Boy, comes from his resemblance in his younger years to the Japanese manga character Astro Boy. So, anyway. Mike, we got ourselves a new champion or not?
If that's the reason why they call him Astro Boy... His parents were not doing him... His parents were doing him a disservice with his haircuts because Astro Boy has a very distinctive haircut. No, I don't think we have a new champion. I think the only reason why Ursig got this fight is because he had a pretty impressive knockout in his last fight. And I haven't had a look at the rest of the people in the top 10, but it has to be this is a confluence of events where there really was no one else who could fight on this card. So
I think they were really hoping that Moreno was going to get past Royval because Moreno moves units a little bit. I think they were really hoping they could book Moreno a fourth fight with this guy. That's my guess.
Yeah, so it seems like this fight, it's just going to be, it should be an easy title defense for Pantoja.
I disagree on the easy part, but I think if he minds his P's and Q's and doesn't end up in a firefight, which Pantoja will get in a firefight a lot of times, I think if he minds his P's and Q's, he can actually take care of business here. I still think he's going to do well. I don't think Usyk's ever gone this long in his career. 25 minutes. I don't see any 25-minute fights. He's been to decision a bunch of times. You know, 8 of his 12 wins are by finish. 4 decision wins, 1 decision loss. I got Pantoja getting it done here. I don't think he's going to, you know, he's not losing in front of his fans, friends and family, you know. Mark?
Yeah, no, I agree. I like Steve, you know, by complete happenstance, I've seen a lot of his fights and actually remember him for having so few UFC fights. And he is, you know, he's a good prospect. You know, he really jumped into the division with a late notice fight against some ranked guy at flyweight, who I don't know who he was, but he beat him, right? And that was his big upset and got him a couple more fights. And, you know, I think Chanel's a pretty decent win, you know, and getting the KOs nice. And, you know, we all remember what Chanel did, I think, 2 years ago. I mean, for me, fight of the year. But he's not really one of these top guys. And I agree with Mike. I think a lot of this is just happenstance with scheduling. He's getting this shot a lot earlier than he should, which is just kind of weird because, like, this division, Pantoja was, for a very long time, the boogeyman of this division. And I mean that literally as in, like, I didn't know who the fuck he was. But I kept hearing, like, oh, this Pantoja guy's really good. He's won 8 fights in a row or some crazy shit like that. So it's weird to see this division where we've had a lot of guys that have had, you know, pretty long strings or just been in the division for a long time, not get shots of the title or take a really long time to finally get a shot. So it's really weird to see a guy kind of just come onto the scene, have some good performances, and then automatically get the shot. I think there's a lot of happenstance here. I do think Pantoja is going to be a little bit too much, especially on the ground with the grappling. We haven't seen Usyk really fight on the ground too much. He's a really slick technical stand-up fighter, and if he can keep, like you said, Bob, keeps it on the feet, he could have potentially a chance to have a huge upset here. I just don't see it happening. I mean, we've seen Pantoja fight against Moreno, who I think is also a very good technical fighter, and he was able to withstand that and win that fight. And we've seen him, I think Royval, we have kind of learned now, is also a really good striker. And was able to nullify him, take him down. So I think he's going to be able to get Steve on the mat and be able to finish this fight within a couple of hours. So, but we'll see.
Next, the King of Rio is back. The UFC Hall of Famer. They signed him to save this fucking card. Jose Aldo, Jonathan Martinez. Last time we saw Jonathan Martinez, I couldn't tell you what he did. No, he beat up Adrian Yanez. He kicked the shit out of his legs. I actually remember that fight. Kicked the shit out of his legs. 6 straight wins. 8 of 9 wins overall. 2 leg kick finishes in there to Yanez and Cub Swanson. The Cub Swanson one was gross too. I remember that. Man's picking up a couple of performance bonuses along the way. He's 30 years old, out of Los Angeles. Jose Aldo, I think, since leaving the UFC, last time we saw him is he fought in that boxing thing, right? Mm-hmm. He did
Boxing.
Yeah, he. I remember he did. He had to draw with Jeremy Stephens. I guess he fought somewhere else and won a decision. And then he had an exhibition somewhere in there too. Before that, his last fight was he fought the fucking machine, you know, Merab Dvashvili, and easily the worst I think Merab has looked in a very long time was against Jose Aldo. If you guys remember that fight. It kind of was like he got real shit on for that performance because he really couldn't get Jose down. So I think it really speaks more to Jose at this point because the motherfucker was taking Henry Cejudo down like it was nobody's business. So betting odds for this one, slight underdog for Mr. Aldo at plus 135, Jonathan Martinez 165. I'll go first. I know Mike's should be going first, but Jose Aldo didn't come out of retirement to get beat up by Jonathan Martinez. I think he's going to get it done here. I haven't figured out how, but I think he's going to get it done. Mike? They didn't drug test him either.
When it comes to this fight,
they didn't drug test him. They didn't do any of that shit. They skipped all the fucking, you got to wait this many months for anything thing. He's fighting. Not saying that means anything. I think everybody's on stuff anyway, but just pointing that out.
All right, fair enough. Mm. One thing I will correct you on, Bobby, is that he didn't sign a contract for this fight, like as if like he was a free agent. This is actually the last fight on his contract, and this is one of the things I'm leaning towards Martinez. If Aldo is just taking this fight to just write out the rest of the contract so that he can be, you know, absolutely free, and he's just going through the motions, then that's going to be pretty scary for Jose Aldo. That would lead him, I think, with not much of a chance to win this fight. I do think he's the better technical striker between the two, and he hits harder. And while we've thought Jose's decline has been happening for a lot of years,
it never actually happened.
There was, I guess, some thought process, and I include myself in this, that, you know, his durability had gone down, but there was only like one fight where he got really battered, and that was the Peter Yan fight. So
look at the people really he's fucking lost to. Look who he's lost to at this list. Yeah. It's insane. Like Marab, Peter Yan, Marlon Moraes, which I thought he won that for what it's worth, so much so that they gave him a fucking title shot. Volkanovski, Max, back to Connor at that point. That's the thing. Like we all look so dumb when he picked against him, when we all picked against him when he fought Frankie Edgar a second time.
Oh, Jesus.
That I'm not going to get fucking, you know what? I don't care. I got Jose Aldo.
So it really is a matter of what Aldo's getting into the ring. I think he has too much pride to just go in there and just collect the check. So I'm going to have Aldo winning a decision.
Marcus?
Yeah, I'll split on here. I think you guys all make a lot of good points about Aldo. You know, I do think mentally when we think about him, we think about him being a little bit more washed up than maybe he actually is. I think he performs maybe a little better in these losses than maybe we remember. I'm going to go with Martinez just because he's been a lot more active as an active UFC fighter under these rule sets. I do think that Aldo is going to have a lot of motivation to perform very well here at his hometown. I think that is a big driving factor for him. I think stylistically, this is a good matchup for him too. You know, if he was going up against someone who was going to be like a Marab and try to hold him against the cage or try to ground him and have a skill set that was very, you know, counter to what Aldo is good at, I think maybe he could struggle or have a more likelihood to struggle in that fight. But, you know, Martinez is a stand-up fighter. He likes to use the leg kicks a lot like Jose Aldo used to. I don't think Aldo utilizes the low kick quite as frequently
he fucking
in his later
stopped.
Fights as he did earlier.
Remember we talked about it? We didn't understand why he just stopped doing leg kicks. It was wild.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think on the outside that might be an advantage Martinez holds. I think he's also just a younger fighter. So a lot of my picking is, you know, what I don't like to do. I don't like to bet against somebody, and that's kind of what I'm doing here. I'm kind of thinking maybe this is Aldo getting a little bit pressured by the UFC to come back to, you know, have his last fight in Rio in a stylistic fight that, you know, I think maybe he thinks he has a high likelihood to have a good performance. But I think Martinez is, you know, a tough out for him, even though stylistically I think he matches up well. So I'm going to roll the dice a little bit. And kind of what I've seen on this card overall, and this is where a lot of my picks are going to head, there's a lot of fights that we're going to pick here that I'm familiar with one of the fighters, and normally those are the guys I'd pick. But I'm familiar with Anthony Smith. I'm familiar with Michael Pereira. But looking at the betting lines, it's kind of showing me, I think they matched them up with a lot of people for coming out parties, right? This could be a big coming out party for Martinez. This could be a big coming out party for a lot of these other guys who aren't well-known, that are fighting more well-known fighters. So I'm going to go with Martinez on this one. I think Aldo has a good shot of winning it, but I like the younger fighter.
Anthony Smith versus Vitor Petrino. Anthony Smith coming into this one as a +400 underdog to -550 for Vitor Petrino. Vitor on a bit of a run, and by a bit of a run, I mean the motherfucker ain't lost yet. He's 11-0 with 8 finishes. In the UFC, 4 wins in the UFC, 5 if you include the Contender Series, 2 decision wins, Tyson Pedro and Anton Turkalj. And knockout of Modestos Bukauskas and sub win over Marcin Prochnio. Anthony Smith should probably go home. I don't know what we're doing. He's had 56 fucking fights. He's only 35, but he has, like, he works at the desk there and stuff. Let's not make this, like, I don't know, man. I think he's, like, convinced himself. He's so close. He's always close to a title shot, but, like, for him to get that one title shot he did, it was a real confluence of events. Dude has lost 3 or 4 fights, and in 2 of them, he got knocked out. And the one he won against Ryan Spann in the middle there, I don't think he won that fight. That, nope. Didn't, and I'm, someone who bet on Anthony Smith in that fight was happy he won. Did not think he won that shit. He's a massive underdog. I, Mike, you could go first, but it doesn't matter. I got Vitor Petrino's going to beat that ass. It's,
yeah,
I think it's going to be very one-sided.
I think he's going to beat that ass as well. Look, Anthony Smith, he's a good fighter, technically, but the man's got no chin left. He's got no durability left in that old body of his. The opposite of Jose Aldo, all right?
Mark.
Yeah, I'm going with Victor, too. I do think, just to disagree with it a little bit with Mike, I do think Anthony Smith is kind of durable, but to his own detriment. Like, he's not durable in the sense that, like, he can take a lot of punishment and still pull off the victory. I think he can just take a lot of punishment. And I also agree with his
skill set. You're right.
I always think, like, maybe, I always thought Anthony Smith was maybe, like, above average in the striking, above average on the ground. Like, he's gotten a lot of people with triangle chokes. He can be kind of crafty. But when he fights anyone who is above average in any area, he tends to kind of lack that those skills to really compete at those levels and ends up losing those fights. And, you know, I do think, you know, he's an interesting personality. And he has a decent skill set. But yeah, I think we've kind of seen him tested quite a bit where he just can't really cut his way through the upper echelon. And, you know, I think Victor is a little bit untested. I think that Pedro fight is interesting because I do think Tyson Pedro is kind of, you know, and also an up-and-comer who's very explosive. And to see him fight him and win and be successful there, I think he's going to have a good shot against Anthony Smith. And I think the line shows that as well.
I was looking at the wrong order for the bouts. Good Lord, I want money for this. Michel Pereira versus Ihor Potiera, yeah. Michel Pereira's on a fucking roll, guys. This dude is on a run. Like, 7 straight wins with, you know, 3 finishes in there, couple choke wins. That last one he won in a minute was sick. That was wonderful performance. Like him at middleweight, quite frankly, because he is so big. I didn't like him trying to get smaller than that. I think it was a detriment to him. 30 years old, he's locked into his weight class. He's got 41 pro fights already, man, but he's like, he's still doing his bullshit, but like, it's not, it's contained. You know, like that Diego Sanchez one was so bad that he had to, like, I think it left people with a bad taste. That was almost like, that was 5 years ago, nearly, over 4 years ago. So really on a run here. On the other end of the table, we got Ihor Poteria. He's losing a lot of fights. He's lost 3 of 5. The wins in there, I mean, one of them is Shogun. Okay. That's you know, which I'm confident, I think that was in Brazil, so he's no problem fighting in Brazil. So there's that. Betting odds for this one, he's a big old underdog, +325 to -450 for Pereira. I got Pereira. Mike, you got Pereira?
I got Pereira. First round.
Okay. Marcus, who do you got? Marcus?
Yeah, I'm not so familiar with the other guy to not pick Pereira. Yeah, I'm picking Pereira as well.
Okay. Finally, and this is where I'm going to see $5, and I just wouldn't want to lose $5 I, you know, don't want to see ever again. Not going to affect my pick, though. Paul Craig. Paul Craig coming into this fight, taking on Caio Borralho. Paul Craig, last time we saw him, got his ass whooped by Brendan Allen. Wasn't a particularly close fight. Took 3 rounds, wasn't very close. He's lost 3 of 4. That was his second fight at middleweight. His first one, he beat up Andre Muniz. I think we've all reached a point where people beating Andre Muniz is not as impressive as we thought it was when it first started happening, because a few people have done it now. Caio Borralho, he's on a 13-fight win streak. Well, okay, he's on a 14-fight unbeaten streak, at least. He got a no contest somewhere in there in Brazil 7 years ago or 6 years ago. In the UFC, he is yet to taste defeat. He is 5-0, two submissions, three decisions. And he won two fights in the contender series. Man, they made you fight in a contender series twice within a month.
That's rough.
He made like $600 probably in a fucking, you know, voucher for the Planet Hollywood buffet. Betting odds, Paul Craig's a real big underdog. Another one there. Minus 450 for Borrelio. Can't be saying that right. Plus 340 for Paul Craig. And if you want to bet on Paul Craig, go to DraftKings or Caesars because they're going to give you plus 400. Yeah, I'm not an idiot. I got the Brazilian, who's a giant favorite. Mark, what do you got?
Yeah, same. I don't know him, but you just with those numbers, you have to figure that these people know a lot more than I do on this one. So, yeah, betting against Paul Craig. Sorry, Paul.
Mark.
Sweeping it.
Mike. Okay, now, Mark, question. Let's say we lived in Rio, okay? And, you know, we only get our one UFC card a year, probably, pay-per-view.
Hmm.
Do you go to this?
Yeah, you would.
It depends how much it's after.
It's not like a bad card. I mean,
great. It's a bad pay-per-view.
We're here picking. Yeah, we're picking all the fights, you know, and like I said previously, at least one end of all these fights I'm familiar with one of the fighters, but yeah, this isn't a pay-per-view worthy card, really. It's a good fight night card. It's a great fight night. I mean, okay, honestly, it's a fantastic fight night card because we have a championship fight. But you know, take that out, the rest of it is of a quality of a what I would consider to be a good fight night. So a weak pay-per-view, not the worst card. I'm still interested to watch it, though.
I think they've conditioned us to, like, you got to have three bangers. Like, three serious fights. You got at least one title fight, if not two.
Yeah.
And that third one has got to be, like, these dudes are about to go to fucking war. Like, so, yeah. This is it. May 5th. So, on Cinco de Mayo, this is what we're getting. Which I think also, if I'm not mistaken, is it Canelo Fight Week?
That is correct.
That's right. Canelo Fight Week. Canelo taking on someone people were not super interested in fighting. I watched more boxing in recent times than I have in my entire life. Every year I actually watch more boxing. So I know that the fight people want to see is David Benavidez versus Canelo Alvarez. Does not appear to be the fight that Canelo Alvarez wants.
Is he leaving that for September?
No, I just don't think he wants to fight him.
Uh-huh.
Like, I think, like, I mean, the motherfucker's 28-0 with a 24 knockouts, and he's 27 years old. Like, I don't know how old Canelo is at this point. Like, I want to guess 33.
Damn, so, Canelo's getting old.
I know, which, you know, I'm just realizing this now. This is what I'll be watching on Saturday. Because, you know.
Mexican girlfriend.
He's from Jalisco. And I'm happy to watch. Be very clear.
Right.
On the rest of this pay-per-view, which I've fucking lost the card, so we might just punt this concept right now. On the undercard, I used to be pretty entertained with Jack Shore. I don't know what happened there. I guess he's no concept of what's going on over there. Does like so little Wikipedia pages. Karolina Kowalkiewicz still doing it, man. God bless her. One of the Bonfim brothers out there against Vince Pichel. That's still happening. Drakkar Close from Joaquin. This is bad. This is real bad. I'm just going to say it. This isn't good. This is bad. Karolina, big fan of hers, and Jack Shore, still a very young man, apparently, 29 years old. Lost that one fight to Ricky Simone, though, so a little bit of shine wore off there, but he's 17-1. They give him a guy with no Wikipedia page, so we better beat that ass. And Karolina is fighting, I don't know who this young lady is, because she has no Wikipedia page. Yasmin Lucindo, who is 15-5. Yeah, so she's got three UFC fights. Don't know who that is. So cool. Anyway, in terms of the other promotions, I do not think anybody's got anything going on right now. Which interesting strategy for everybody involved, quite frankly. I don't think we're seeing Bellator for a couple weeks where they're going to be in Paris with Usman Nurmagomedov taking Alexander Shabli for the lightweight title. Big fan of Usman. That's going to be a fun one. Also, we got Patchy Mix versus Magomedov. Patchy Mix is the man. So that's a good one in there. So we got some interesting stuff happening over there. So, anyway, are we already at top five list? I guess. All right.
Indeed, we are,
folks. May 4th is coming up. Star Wars Day. So we find it appropriate to mention our favorite Star Wars whatevers. Characters, scenes, games, movies, ships, actors, droids, whatever. Whatever you got.
And also, it's also Cinco de Mayo the day after that.
Yes.
And perhaps some people will mention some Mexican things.
I'm just putting this out there. We could have saved the Mexican stuff for next week. Just putting that out there. But okay. I'll go first. For me, pretty simple concept, lightsabers. Because as a kid, I loved that. That was the coolest thing in the world to me. I was a Ninja Turtles kid, you know, big fan of that stuff. Weapons and stuff, you know, guns, whatever. You know, fucking like swords and stuff. A laser sword, for the love of fucking God. Where you can cut a hole in a motherfucker. That blew my little mind, man. That was, well, I had a big head even as a kid. Blew my reasonably sized mind. And I do like that. I mean, there's things I part of me likes the fact that, like, when you watch the original movies, the amount of shit people were doing with lightsabers was not, like, a lot. And I think, like, Luke Skywalker said, the way it was described to him was like, oh, it's like Excalibur. It's heavy, you know? Like, there wasn't a lot going on in terms of the movements. Like, you know, Luke would flip around a guy here or there, but the actual, like, lightsaber shit, like, nobody was flopping around like a fish like Yoda. So, then you, like, go to the prequels, which, you know, is 30 years before these movies, and, you know, these dudes are doing all that cool shit. This stuff looks like it's like everybody's rocking like a carbon fiber, lightweight lightsaber. That fucking, you know, what's his name's got a double dong lightsaber going too. Like, there's a lot of stuff happening. Like,
double dog.
Double really? Dog. That's what it was, a double dog. So yeah, man, as a kid, man, that's the thing also. I mean, just a note for people who get all fucking like, got a lot of bad fan bases. I think a lot of it is the internet perpetuates bad fan bases. This stuff, you all fell in love with it when you were kids. So try to view this all, like, from the window of, like, from a child's eyes. So, lightsabers in general. Marcus, you want to go?
Yeah, and I'll keep it in the same kind of vein of just, like, a specific thing about the universe they built. And I really like the speeder bikes that they had Return of the Jedi. Yeah, I thought there was a really cool design. They kind of, I mean, I maybe even in general, not to steal anyone else's, but like, I think it's kind of cool how they did land.
This is a brief pause to see if Mark's coming back or not. And
I believe Comcast has 86 of them.
I'm going to try to guess what he said. They had land. The speeder bikes that hovered on land, I think that's Mark was about to give props to. It's my guess.
Well, yeah, but I mean, all the speeders hovered on land.
Bobby, I think in general, like, though, like, I thought it was a cool visual is what he was going to say.
It was definitely really cool in 1999 when Attack of the Clones, when the Phantom Menace come out. That was easily the best part of that movie, which is not a high bar. That's for sure.
I mean, the Pod Racer in general, pretty fucking sick.
Yeah.
That was a good game. But anyway, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to switch that now.
Did you know if you ask people of the, like, came of age during that time, they enjoy the prequel better than the original trilogy?
I thought this was like memes. Like, there's a whole thing like online and Reddit, but like, no, these people were fucking 8 years old, 9 years. This is what they want. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know, if you watch a grown ass man watches like Star Wars for the first original Star Wars, man, it's like dialogue's a little clunky. Like, the special effects are a little bit wonky at times. Like, but it's like, it's, I'm remember the quote. It was from, you ever seen the movie Fanboys?
No.
Anyway, there's a quote from it. I'll see if I can find about, like, you have to like the imperfections because it's part of the, you know,
the growth,
the whole, like, what's part of the charm. So go ahead. Gotcha. What's your thing?
My first thing, it's that Han shot first. George Lucas has a bad problem of going back in and tweaking the movie. I guess on some level, you gotta commend that, in that for him, the movies were a living organism that they could be improved on, even after, you know, they were in the can. But one improvement, or quote-unquote improvement, he made was in A New Hope, where Han gets almost captured by the Rodian Greedo. And in the original cut of A New Hope, Han shoots him from under the table. And that's supposed to show, you know, Han is a scoundrel, you know. Han isn't going to get caught by anybody. But I don't know where George Lucas gets off changing it later on. And he adds really just ham-fisted phaser shot from Greedo to almost just show, like, oh, no, Han's a good guy. He didn't shoot first. So for me, that's my first thing I always loved about Star Wars, the whole Han shot first battle cry.
Right on. You got it. The quote, by the way, was, you got to keep the flaws, crappy effects, real puppets. That's what makes it good, you know. Yeah. Some of the charm, man.
I see that.
All right. Lego Star Wars.
Okay.
Mike knows this about me. Mark does too, whose internet finally just crapped out again. I went on a run playing those Lego games, in that I played every fucking one for like a good, like, 10 to 12 game stretch. Those Lego Star Wars games were so much fun. And also, those games are a lot of fun because, like, there are no stakes at all. Like, which I know sounds dumb, but I'm fucking, dude, life is stressful at times. And especially, like, you know, we're dealing with stress. You want to play something and just shut your fucking mind off.
Yeah,
I'm just going to take this little fucking Luke Skywalker with a lightsaber, and eventually I'm going to kill all these people. I'm going to die about 45 times eventually, but eventually I'm going to get all of them. It's going to happen, you know? I might have to switch to Han Solo and get out the fucking gun to blasters and stuff, but, like, you know, those Lego games are really fun. And I eventually, you know, eventually one day I was just done, but, like, I had a blast, you know? And that was the original trilogy Star Wars game was so cool to me. I had so much fun playing that game. So, I mean, there's probably, we honestly could just do in a fucking entire top five list on the Star Wars video games, because there's a lot of them.
You definitely love playing those Lego games. I mean, I enjoyed them for the most part, but you were definitely way into them.
They were like therapy.
Than I was back in law.
They were
school.
Basically therapy to me, where I'm just like, this is just going to sit here and just no one fucking talk to me. I'm just going to do that. I remember our friend Phil played the Lego Batman game with me. No joke, we played for like 4 hours one time. We were stuck on one level for like 2.5 hours, and it did not matter. We just couldn't. We just kept breaking shit one thing after another. So, anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Second thing for me, this one's going to be one that's a bit out there. And so before Star Wars was bought by Disney, they had about 25 years of novels that came out that gave basically a rich story after Return of the Jedi. And these books, they included, a resurgence of the Empire, Luke Skywalker rebuilding the Jedi Order, Han and Leia having three kids, Luke Skywalker getting married and having his own son. And one book series in particular was called Legacy of the Force. This is when this alien army from the unknown regions, they come and they invade the New Republic, and everything gets sent to shit. During this book series, Chewbacca dies. two of Leia and Han's kids end up dying. Luke Skywalker's wife dies, and it was a great series. I remember reading when I was a kid, and you know, it's a bit of a shame that it's now been relegated as to not be canon after Disney made the sale, but still really good books to read if you guys ever just want to read a Star Wars novel.
They couldn't ice this many people in the movie, huh, without making children cry?
No way.
Yeah, fair enough. Next one for me. Empire Strikes Back, specifically the end of Empire Strikes Back.
Mm-hmm.
Because as a kid, you don't see a lot of movies where the good guys don't win. And that was a very like seminal like moment where like, what do you mean? Like, what? Like, they fucking put this dude in carbonite and is he dead? What happened? This guy's got no hand and it's his fucking dad? What? Like, what? What? Like, what's going on? What, we just lost? They lost? It's the best one. I don't think that's a big stretch. I mean, it's subjective. For me, it's the best one. Some people like Return of the Jedi more. Cool. You know? Some people like... what was the one with... Diego Luna? The one that was not one of the episodes? You know what I'm talking about. The one that was between 3 and 4?
Yeah. I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah.
Can't remember what
Rogue
the name
Squad. No, Rogue Squadron was the game.
Rogue One.
Rogue One. There we go. That was... But for me, Empire Strikes Back, and it's because, like, man, you don't see a lot of movies as a kid where, like, hey, man. And, like, look, you know, the good guys, you know, win in the third, at the end, right? Like, they win the third, and win, we thought. Then episode 7 came out, and there was a whole ass bigger Death Star. The fuck? But, like, that was, it doesn't work out sometimes. You gotta come back from stuff. You gotta persevere. And, you know, our heroes had to persevere, and got a big teddy bear party in the next one. But, you know, they did persevere. And episode 5... Dude, that beginning of the movie where they fucking... It's like in every Star Wars video game, too. The fucking, the AT-AT walker things.
Yeah.
You call them AT-ATs or AT-ATs?
I call them AT-ATs.
Yeah, AT-ATs. Like, I remember... It was the first Star Wars game for N64. I don't think the...
Rogue Squadron.
I played so much fucking Rogue Squadron. And that was like... I used to bust out the game facts. You know, if you didn't want to pay for the fucking guide, you had to go to gamefacts.com to get the guide on how to do stuff. So, Empire Strikes Back for me. Mike, what do you got?
That's a good one. Third one for me, it's a character that when she first got introduced, I just wasn't a huge fan of, but she's become one of the most popular characters that came out from not being in any of the original movies, and that's Anakin Skywalker's Padawan Ahsoka Tano, who got introduced in the CGI movie Clone Wars, and then was one of the main characters of the Clone Wars television show that was on, I think it was on Cartoon Network. She developed a rich backstory, and she has been prevalent now before the the rebellion, and you know, now in The Mandalorian and in her own show, which I have thoroughly enjoyed.
I will just say I had one. I lost it.
You don't write these down?
No, I'm trying to fucking half produce this show while we're going. I also came up with this fucking idea 5 minutes before we started. I'm going to say it. I'm a grown ass man. Princess Leia. Y'all know why. Okay.
Ooh,
Princess Leia. Y'all know why.
Just say it, bro.
Leia, metal bikini. We all know what's up. We all were kids and we went, hmm? Every one of us did that. Okay. I'm talking like 100% of us, okay? Not one person was like, nah, Mike, right? Come on, back me up here. 100%.
No. There's a reason why you said Princess Leia, and I was very quickly able to just fill in the rest of what you were talking about.
Yep. That was it. I'm starting to think we're not going to get Mark back, by the way, the way this is going.
Kind of makes you wonder, like, what was George Lucas thinking that through the first two movies, in the first movie, Princess Leia is dressed like a bedsheet. In the second movie, she's dressed like, you know, someone going on a camping trip.
Yeah.
And then he just decides, yo, Harry, guess what? You got to fit into this two-piece, all right?
Yo, like, Carrie.
Start eating some celery.
It's 1983. Fucking these kids who saw this movie in 1977, the original, they are now, these 10-year-olds are 16. They want to see some women in this thing, all right? You hear stories about how she was like, I mean, kidding, like, serious aside, they fucking were up her ass about her weight. Like, they thought she was too, yeah, oh my God, not him, but the studio. They always were up her ass about her weight. They thought she was too, like, heavy and stuff. Just wild.
Holy shit. That is crazy. It's a wild
concept. Consider, like, Princess Leia was, like, she was goddamn princess. She's beautiful. Yeah. People loved her. And she was, like, a fucking role model. She was kicking the shit out of, like, that was the thing also, like, putting aside that I just said her in a bikini was a seminal moment in all of our lives, like, she was fucking, like, a good role model for, like, remember in the first movie where they come to save her and she just grabs the fucking gun herself and starts blasting motherfuckers? That was a big deal. So, like, I'm going to adjust my thing to Princess Leia as a whole. So it makes you feel like less of an asshole. Princess Leia as a whole, you know, for a character, they first told her, you're in a love triangle. Oh, no, wait. And then later, they're like, oh, it's your brother. Carrie Fisher had a lot to work with where she had to make adjustments to how things are happening. And then she fucking shot out to the fucking universe like a goddamn rocketeer in episode 8. That was a thing. By the way, Mike, if you say Boba Fett as one of yours, we're going to fight right now. Just letting you know.
Well, I'm not, and it's funny you actually touched on one of the things I have in my top five, and it's the accepted incest.
It's positive? This is one of your favorites?
Look, man, you know a set of movies are good that people are just okay with. She was making it out with her brother in the last movie. You know what? That's fine.
Every single person was like, oh, whatever. When they found out that they were siblings, there was two reactions. You go, huh? Oh, like, you're like, you're from a surprise to like, oh, wait a second. Finally, sorry, Mark's talking about how Comcast is fucking him. So, I will end with, this isn't something I like. I mostly just want to shit on Boba Fett, but I won't. R2-D2. I was going to say droids in general, but that's a little bit wide range. I just love that shit, man. I loved R2-D2. I love that, like, people could understand the beeps and boops this motherfucker was spitting at them. Like, his buddy is C-3PO, and C-3PO's a real bitch. C-3PO's a real bitch. Like, just a bitch entirely. And, you know, if you try to follow, like, who knows who, and with the fucking mind fucking, like, wipes and droid wipes or whatever, you can get yourself crossed up a bit on why the fuck didn't at any point, like, you know, R2-D2 just be like, yo, Luke, let me tell you about your dad, bro. Like,
so that's because they got their memories wiped.
Sure. Okay.
It's right at the end of episode 3.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, they've restored these fuckers left and right here. They couldn't restore that, huh? Okay. Fair enough. If I go to fucking Star Wars Land, whatever they're calling it, Galaxy's Edge or whatever, right, and you want to design your own droid, I'm coming out with R2-D2. I'm not even kidding. Literally, it's going to be R2-D2. It's going to be R2-D2, and when I come out with a lightsaber, it's going to be a purple lightsaber, just because...
Doesn't R2-D2 have a very distinct name in Mexico?
R2-D2? What do you mean? That's the joke. Or if you say his name fast, it sounds like he's, you know, Hispanic.
No, I think it's an actual. His name is Arturito.
Arturito, that's what it is. Arturito.
little Arthur.
Yeah,
is what his name is in Mexico.
That's that was one of my favorite parts of those movies. Was R2-D2. So, and like when like him and CP3PO get separated and they get back together and they're excited to see each other. It's happened a couple times, but every time you're just like, man, they're buddies. It's nice. They're buddies. What's your last one, buddy?
Last one for me, it's Star Wars Rebels. Did you ever watch that show? So it's a show that basically takes place about 2 years before Star Wars A New Hope. It introduces, it's like right at the very nascent of when like the rebellion is really happening and coalescing. It has Freddie Prinze Jr. playing Kanan Jarrus, a former Jedi who was a Padawan at the time of Order 66, who had given up being a Jedi, getting in with a small faction of rebels. And then taking on a little boy to be his Jedi apprentice. And that show, I think, ran for maybe about 3 or 4 seasons. And very similar to the Clone Wars show, it had a pretty big following, and so much so that I don't know if you watched the Ahsoka.
Did not.
Show? You did not.
No, okay. I stopped. I haven't watched anything since season 2 of Mandalorian. Anything Star Wars.
Well, that show, Ahsoka, was basically almost called Rebels season 5 because many of the main characters that were in that show were in Rebels. So for me, that's my other thing in the Star Wars universe that's pretty cool.
Very cool. So Mark fighting with Comcast, trying to get him over to his house. So you're not going to hear anything from him. I imagine Mark would have been more helpful in the video game front. Couple notable things. That first Battlefront game was fun. I had a modded Xbox. Ooh. I had it on there. Battlefront was fun.
Outside looking in, the Knights of the Old Republic,
mm-hmm.
RPGs that came out for the, I think, original Xbox. Those were really good games.
I don't know if other people thought this, but I played Star Wars. I think it was called Star Wars Unleashed, I think. Or Force Unleashed? Force Unleashed. That was a lot of fun. I had a blast playing that game. That was a lot of fun.
Was that the one with the Starkiller guy?
I don't even remember. I just remember I had it on one of the Xbox. I think it was modded Xbox I had it on, I want to say. I don't even remember. It might have been 360. I don't remember even, but I remember playing. That was a lot of fun. The fucking pod race game, fun as hell. It's one of those games everybody played on the N64.
Yeah.
I know, like, they pissed everybody off with one of these Battlefront games when they made everything cost money, which is just classic EA, though. That's that. So, and, you know, a couple other things, you know, worth mentioning. It's just, you know, they're people camping out for movies, I think, really was a Star Wars thing. If I'm not mistaken, that might have been the people, like, the impact cannot be measured on that franchise. Just in terms of, like, the filmmakers, it like inspired, and like my dad likes to tell me, like, when people went and saw, like, when he went and saw Star Wars when he was, you know, my dad was 22, he says literally the fucking movie starts and, like, you know, you see the fucking is it the Star Destroyer is coming, and like immediately everybody in the theater, my dad's like, everybody in the theater's eyes were as big as like dinner plates. It looked like they were just like, holy shit, how did they do that? Like, it changed everything. It changed, like, you know. And, like, you know, the Industrial Light and Magic came out of that whole company, and THX and all that shit. Like, dude, George Lucas, man, doesn't write the greatest dialogue in the world, but his impact on filmmaking is, you know, cannot be, you know, minimized in any way. Like, movies, TV shows, novels, comic books, video games, merchandise, like, I don't know if Disney's doing it better than he did, I'll be honest, you know. I'm not sure they're doing it better than he did. All the attitude we gave this motherfucker all this time. Maybe it's just he made a kid's thing and all of us grew up. Maybe we think about that sometimes, people. Huh?
It could be that.
Could be that. Dude, the number of fucking shows, like 15 shows. Didn't watch Boba Fett, Obi-Wan, Andor. I heard Andor's good, for what it's worth. Didn't watch Andor, so.
No, I haven't watched Andor. That's one thing I haven't even given a shot
to. You watch Obi-Wan?
Yeah. I liked Obi-Wan.
You should watch Fanboys, by the way. Just putting that out there. It's a real stupid movie, but it's fun. Basic concept is it's 1999 or 8. And a bunch of childhood friends who some of them have grown distant. One of them gets real sick and is going to die. And they decide that they want him to stay. He needs to see episode 1 before he dies. So they're going to break into Skywalker Ranch to go see the movie. And it's like a road trip movie. It's the kid from Can't Hardly Wait is one of the guys. I keep forgetting his name.
Which one? Brecken Meyer?
No, the main dude.
Whatever his name.
Yeah, you know what I mean. That guy. And then Kristen Bell. And then I can't remember his name anymore. The guy from She's Out of His League. That guy. Yeah, him. There's a bunch of motherfuckers. Random cameos here or there. A lot of Star Wars people. It's and there's a decent chance it's just on YouTube. Surprisingly, it's not. That's a shocker. I'll be honest with you. Anyway, let's do stuff we like and call it a day. Go real quick, because mine's not necessarily a positive one. And not that I think it was a bad show, but I'm like, I just finished season 2 of Invincible with my girlfriend. We were watching it. I think it ended relatively recently, but we watched the last episode. Must have been a couple weeks, because we hadn't watched in a couple weeks, and there was only one episode we hadn't seen. So, I think the show was really good in the first season. I was really like the whole like concept of it. I thought it was fascinating, you know, everything they were doing. And there's still parts I like, but I think there's the whole show itself. I'm just like, there are so many characters. Like there are so many characters, and like they'll bring some guy that from he said something in episode 2 for like a minute, and I'm like, who the fuck is that? Well, I'm supposed to remember this? Like, and you're not dropping this show in bingeable thing either, you know? Like they're dropping the show weekly, Mike. So like, I really had to remember somebody from 7 weeks ago or something, or especially when they split the season in half. I had to remember something from like 4 months ago. So stuff like that. And I just like, I stopped rooting for the main character because just I'm rooting for his horrible father to come back and kill everybody at this point, to be honest. I think if I'm not rooting for your protagonist, I think it's hard for me to get into it. And I think if they want to make a side a spinoff with Alan the Alien, I'm in. Like, they wanted to make it a Patreon thing, and I had to pay $10 for specifically for that show, I would. Because it is the best character on that show. And second is Rex. Because I'm a Jason Mantzoukas mark, so I generally enjoy everything he's in, you know. Even in the League when he was Rafi and it was a bit much, I still enjoy him, so. Besides that, the Suns got swept. And I say this as someone who appreciates everything Kevin Durant did for us. You know, man helped us win 2 trophies, 2 rings. There was 2 parades he was part of. I would like him to continue to not win anything without us.
Come on.
Specifically. I don't want him to win anything without us. That's just the way I am. And if
come on, man, no one likes a hater.
I'm not a hater. I just don't. And also, when he went to Phoenix, that sealed it right there. I don't really enjoy. I don't know when it happened that I decided I don't like Mr. Booker, but it's real easy to root against Devin Booker. It's just I've noticed. I think for the rest of the way we'll be rooting for the Timberwolves of Minnesota, maybe because I enjoy Ant-Man. I hope the Knicks of New York do well as well. I'll be honest. I hope you guys do well.
I appreciate that, man.
I got nothing bad to say about the Knicks. I don't want Boston to win anything ever in any sport. As a general rule, I root against Los Angeles and I root against Boston. I generally root against New York, but I do that less since, you know, being friends with you guys and like going to school over there and how much I like the city also. I very much hope the Yankees don't win anything still. It's nice.
No, yeah.
There's no point in booing the Mets because the Mets don't win dick anyway. You know, I'm not trying to be mean. You don't. I have mixed feelings about the New York Jets because of how much I used to like Aaron Rodgers.
Who hates the New York Jets?
Some of us had a very different opinion of Aaron Rodgers since we were 18 years old and have been following him a long time. And it's hard to differentiate the nut bar he is, but I root for your guys' happiness. That being said, the Knicks would be down 3-0 if this dude had both of his legs working, I think. Just putting it out. Then again, man, Jalen Brunson's playing his balls off. He's the best contract in the league. You guys are underpaying that dude like half of what he deserves. So.
Hey, availability is just as important as ability.
Dude, you know what, man? People try to say the Warriors, that first championship, didn't count somehow because Love managed to get hurt and Kyrie got hurt. Hey, man, this is a 82-game marathon followed by a 2-month tournament. You staying healthy is like, that's one of the good things about LeBron, man. He went to like 10 straight finals. Like, it's impressive. Like, if you watch that, when we were on our run, you know, before we came back and beat Boston a couple years ago, but that last series against Toronto, there's a moment where like Klay goes down with an injury after KD's been not gone down. And you see Steph is sitting on the other side of the court, just sitting on the ground, tired, like exhausted. Like, this 5-year run was like breaking him. Like, he was done basically. Like, dude, it's an endurance test, all these sports, man. Like, being healthy is a big thing. So, also, apparently, Joel Embiid is twice as dirty as Draymond Green statistically.
My guy has been out here this series trying to injure Knicks.
I'll say this. If Draymond did any of the things he did in that game, any one of them, at least a game he's missing, minimum, if not two. Like, minimum.
Well, like, let's also remember that Draymond has something called a history.
No. Okay. He has less of a history than Embiid. Embiid has more fouls.
No.
Did you see the numbers?
There's no way that's possible.
He has more flagrant fouls in half as many games. He has more playoff flagrant fouls in half as many games, too. Y'all just don't like Draymond because we winning, all right? Just because he winning, all right? By the way, I watched... we're just talking basketball now. Fuck it for a moment. Fucking Nurkic and Gobert, okay? I didn't think there was going to be a big man I enjoyed watching less than Rudy Gobert try to play offense. Nurkic's entire existence is infuriating. Like, it's just... everything he does is so bad. Like, I know I'm sounding old when I say this, but believe me when I say this, people. Maybe a little bit younger. You don't realize this. If Shaq existed in the current NBA... If 27-year-old Shaq existed in the NBA right now, okay? I'm not saying he could guard these motherfuckers who could shoot threes. I'm not saying that at all, okay? He's averaging 38 points a game, though, okay? He is... Do you know what he would do to Rudy Gobert? I'm watching this motherfucker try to play this defense, which is just like, there's no centers left. I'm tall. I'm going to weak side get some blocks. Like, Shaq breaks his arm if he tries to block Shaq. That's what happens. Like, this... I don't know what... Dude... And Rudy's making like $50 million. It's wild. I'd enjoy the Suns losing. I would like it if the Lakers went down. This isn't a LeBron thing. I really don't care. But it says Los Angeles on those jerseys, and I am who I am. So they can lose.
Actually, I think they're at home. So I think it just says they're on the Lakers.
Road.
Oh, they're on the road.
It's game five. It's 2-2, 1-1-1. So they pull this off. The series gets interesting for what it's worth. They're up right now. And if Boston could not win the NBA championship and Lakers could not win it, I really don't care beyond that too much.
Don't worry, man. We're going to knock them out in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Dude, it's going to be funny because Boston has Boston could, like, if they don't win this year, like, they have to win the whole thing. I'm not kidding. They have to win the whole thing. We're on year four of the Celtics having the most talent. Like, when we beat them, I remember, like, ESPN's basketball index said we had a 19% chance of winning. And I'm not just saying this. You remember this from when it was happening. I said, we're winning. This is not going to be all that close. We just literally fucking big dogged them out of that thing. You know? Like, that was all it took. Anyway, you got something you actually like, you know, as I enjoy people's fucking misery? Like, you know, fucking talk about the Knicks winning. That was great.
That was great.
there's nothing better than being in New York. And mind you, this is not something I've experienced very often in my adult life, but there's nothing better than being in New York when the Knicks are, you know, good and winning playoff games. It's just a different energy in the city, because whereas with all the other sports, it's a city divided. Like, you know, I'm not happy when the Yankees win and our friend Sal's happy. I'm pretty indifferent when the Giants are winning. but when it comes to the basketball team, it doesn't matter if you're a Mets, Jets, you know, Yankees, Mets fan. Everyone roots for the Knicks. I know you're about to say the Nets. No one roots for the Nets.
Okay. I think we didn't do this on a podcast, did we? I think compared to us, because I said the same thing to you. I think I've said it to you before. It's totally different energy when the Warriors are good, because it's all of us. When the Warriors got good, it was awesome. It was every one of, like, we just lost one of our base football teams a year or two ago. We're about to lose a baseball team, so this isn't going to mean as much, but, like, there's two baseball teams, there's two basketball, there's two football teams. It's one basketball team, man. There's 8 million people here.
Yeah.
And we all root for this team. So, God is what it is.
So, I'm looking forward. Hopefully, this run can go longer, as long as possible. Besides that, I think it's going to be a perspective like for me. Hopefully, I could get back to you guys on this one next week. My girlfriend has started watching this show called Killing Eve that has Sandra Oh in it. I had heard good things about it before, but I'd never met anyone who would actually watch the show. She's been watching the show since about 2 or 3 days ago, and she's given it the seal of approval. So I may try to watch an episode or two.
I'm about to look like a real asshole if I'm wrong, but I'm almost positive Rocio watches this show. Like, if you tell me who the main actress is in it, I will tell you.
Sandra Oh.
No, not her. There's someone else in this show. Jodie Comer. Dursley. Yeah, she watches this show. Jodie Comer. She watches this show. She plays Villanelle or whatever. Yeah. My girlfriend watches this show. That's right. I remembered. If you're still listening, I remembered. Anyway. How far into it is she?
I gotta say maybe 3 or 4 episodes in.
I think it's 4 seasons, I think.
Ooh, so that's a fair amount of episodes.
So. I don't know. I think it's, like, done, too. I don't think it's, like, more coming, to be honest. So, I think it's English. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. But yeah, she was a big fan. She liked it. So, I should tell her that that Jacqueline's watching it. So, all right. So next week, folks, we go from talking about a pay-per-view that was lackluster to a fight night card that's lackluster, but quite frankly, deserving for the garbage city where it's taking place. UFC is going to be in St. Louis, Missouri, headlining Derek Lewis, who turned down fighting Francis Ngannou for at least $2 million. To fight in St. Louis. I hope he's making a lot of money against Rodrigo Nascimento, who is 11-1. They can make Derek Lewis fight these fucking young hitters. Definitely worth it, Derek Lewis. Definitely worth it. They made you go to fucking Rio to fight Jolton Almeida before this. Does Nascimento know how to grapple? He got 6 submissions. So, 6 submissions, Mike. I wonder how this is going to go if Derek Lewis can't stop him from taking him down. I wonder. God, Derek, please don't lose again. It's making me sad. Not a terribly great card, but I think they let, we got Joaquin Buckley on there, who's from St. Louis. He really wanted the main event, so naturally he's not. So, he's taking on some random guy. It was supposed to be Alexander Hernandez. I think Alexander Hernandez got hurt, if I'm not mistaken. Or I might be mixing, that's a different fight, actually, never mind. Anyway, we'll be back next week, with DJ Mark, with Lavender Gooms. I was Dr. Law. Thank you all so much for listening. Go Nuggets. Go Knicks.
Go Knicks.
Go Knicks. Go. It's too late for Miami Heat. But, you know, you never know. Doesn't matter what happens in Orlando versus Cleveland. It's hard for me to say go Pacers.
Yeah. We play the Pacers next round if we win. So
that's gonna be fun. Pacers. I like Knicks and Pacers. That's gonna be making a bunch of references to shit we watched when we were 10 years old. So that should be fun.
Yeah, it'll be great.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. Peace out.
See ya.
Definitely restarted our intro music for a brief second there. Hope you folks enjoyed it. Really, we're really just running a tight ship today, Mike. We're just realizing, like these last 3 weeks, this podcast has been interesting, to say the least. Like, we've had a stretch here. So, shout out to Sue Bird becoming a member of the Seattle Storm ownership. Now that her career is over.
Shout out.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Peace.
Peace.